at it again and welcome Dr. Creflo Dollar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you praise and we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you'll move up and down every aisle and in and out every row. Touch, heal, deliver, set free, and make whole today. Father, we declare that this is the day of the Lord. We thank you that marvelous things will happen in this day. We thank you, Lord, that you'll send now prosperity in this day. We thank you, Lord, that we are now rejoicing and we are glad in this day. And God, we thank you and we declare what a difference a day can make. Now, Lord, I thank you that every ear is anointed to hear. Hallelujah. Every heart's anointed to receive. And I thank you, Lord, we'll never be the same again after this day. We give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you this morning. You can take your seats. And if you don't mind, let's just hop right into this. Amen. You have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Habakkuk or your table of contents. Praise the Lord. We're talking about how to stay in faith and the things you need to know in order to stay in faith in the middle of rough situations and rough times. Now, I want to start off with this statement this morning. I want you to get a hold of this, that we must know the will of God in order to be in faith. I want you to think about that. We must know the will of God in order to be in faith. Everything else we've ever learned, we've got to understand that in order for us to be in faith, we must know the will of God. So let's begin here in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. Let's read verse 4 out loud together. Ready, read. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live. Let's read it again. You're still trying to find Habakkuk. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Ready, read. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The Amplified says, look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Now, yesterday we began to talk about the importance of Christian people producing the fruit of faithfulness, because it's going to require faithfulness in order for faith to be able to stay out in the field long enough and to produce. It's going to require us becoming and remaining as faithful stewards, requiring us to be dependable, trustworthy, requiring us to operate in continuous commitment towards the things of God, and that we understand that every attack that the enemy will bring our way will be an attack against our faithfulness. We've got to make our mind up that we're not going to quit, that we're going to remain in faith regardless of what it looks like. And so we're going to have faith in our faithfulness. But here he says, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Now, it sounds to me that there is a prescription now for life. Sounds to me like there is a prescription for living. There's a particular prescribed way for those who have been declared righteous to live their lives. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start at the most basic place I know how in order to take you to this place where I believe we should end up at this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. Ready? Read. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. The just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith? The just. The just shall live by faith. Well, who are the just? The just are those who have been declared righteous. The just are those who are born again and made Jesus Lord of their lives. And the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life, heaven declared you righteous. Now, before you did any goody-goody thing, before you went to a believer's convention, before you got yourself involved in a revival, when you got born again and made Jesus Lord of your life, heaven says you're righteous. Now, you need to understand something about righteousness here. Your righteousness is not something that you earned because of your works. You have been made the righteousness of God. You've been made righteous because of what Jesus has accomplished. I am righteous and I am right with God because of Jesus. I'm right with God because of Jesus. I'm right with God because of the blood of Jesus. And I've been declared righteous. Hallelujah. And so we've got to understand that all of your works cannot be given credit or is not responsible for you being righteous. It's Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jesus. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, there's got to be more than one way to God. Let me make sure you understand there's only one way. Jesus is the door, praise the Lord. And he's the only way in and he's the only way out. Are you listening to me? So he declared us righteous. And here's what I want you to see here, because sin will make you guilty. And you've got to understand that God wants you to be free from this guilt. And when you're free from sin, then you're free from this guilt. But you've got to understand that the attack is going to come to try to cause you to, you know, waver in your confidence and not be confident in your faith. And so you've got to understand righteousness, because that's where it's going to be hit. He's going to try to get you to think you're not worthy. He's going to get you to think, well, you're not doing it right. And you're always, you know, question yourself. Maybe I should have prayed longer, or I should have did this harder. You got to understand something. You have been made righteous because of what Jesus has done for you. He is our champion. Therefore, coming to church won't make you righteous. But righteous people come to church. Tithing won't make you righteous, but righteous people will tithe. Amen. Singing in the choir and singing won't make you righteous, but righteous people are going to figure out how to praise the Lord and sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. So what I want you to do is to realize who you are because of Jesus. Realize who you are in Christ, and then open the Bible up and find out what righteous people do. You know, I just finished a European tour and I kept running into people that just kept getting excited about revival. They just kept talking about revival, revival, revival. And I just kind of just said, well, you know, let's just get it right. Revival is for dead folks. If you've been born again, you don't need to be revived every day. You just need to get some more understanding so you can continue to learn how to live by the word of God and how to live by faith. Amen. Now, if you're dead, I'm all for revival. But I got a problem with people who are alive trying to get revived. Are you listening to me? And then they're doing all kinds of little funny things, you know, falling out and shaking. And I ain't got no problem with folks falling out, but just make sure it's the anointing and not play. See, we can tell if the anointing, if you fell out a drug addict and got up without the taste, then the burden has been removed, the yoke has been destroyed, and you've experienced the anointing. And so we are the just. Somebody shout, I am the just. I have been declared righteous. And I live by faith. So faith is not a denomination. Faith is not a movement. Faith is the way we, the just, live. It's the prescription that's been given to us by God Almighty. We have the prescription. We live this way. Now, let's go to Galatians 3. verse 11. Galatians 3, verse 11. Let's read 11 out loud together. Ready, read. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live. The just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith?
The just.
All right, now do me a favor. Since we know we're the just, say me.
Me.
Who shall live by faith?
Me.
Who shall live by faith?
Me.
So there it is again. It's a prescription. It's the way that the just live. The just shall live a particular way. The just shall live by a particular prescription. Now, I am convinced that most Christians, either they don't know how to live or they have forgotten the prescription that they should live by. And thank God for all the great and wonderful things we hear. But if you forget about this prescription and you no longer find yourself living this way, then you're going to be on the outside of a whole lot of wonderful things trying to figure out why they are not coming and operating and activating in your life. The just shall live by faith. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. When you get there, let's look at verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Let's read verse 38 out loud together. Ready, read. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live how?
By faith.
The just shall live how?
By faith.
Who shall live by faith? I like that. We live this way. This is the prescription. This is how we do it. Now, four times we have read the just shall live by faith. Four times we have seen the just shall live by faith. The prescription appears to be very clear concerning how we live. God Almighty made us. He created us and he included with the creation a manual of instruction. That manual of instruction now will contain the way we should live. It'll tell us how to talk. It'll tell us how to walk. It'll tell us how to operate in our marriage. It'll tell us how to raise our children. It'll tell us how to handle our finances. It'll tell us what to do in the midst of a hard time. It'll tell us what to do when pressure comes. It tells us what to do. And so, ladies and gentlemen, please understand the next obvious question should be, if the just shall live by faith, then we have got to make sure we understand what faith is. We cannot continue to debate about what faith is. We can't continue to, you know, well, one guy has one revelation and revelation's fine. But there's got to be a practical understanding of what it means when you hear the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? The just shall live by faith. I'm talking about how to stay in faith. But I got to make sure we know how to live by faith if we're going to stay in faith. We got to make sure we're all together on this. How to live by faith. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. When you get to Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's look at verse 17. Ready? Read. So then, faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or just simply put, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So the source of faith is the word of God. The source of faith is the word of God. In other words, no word, no faith. Say that with me. No word,
no word,
no faith.
No faith.
So if your faith level is low, it's because what? Your word level is low. If your faith level is high, it's because what? Your word level is high. The word of God is the source, hallelujah, for your faith, praise the Lord. The word of God is the source for your faith. Now, we must then submit and conclude that without this word, we lose the potential to have faith. Because this is the source of faith. Now let's talk a little bit about what faith is not exactly. For example, if you were to go to basically a large percentage of Christians and ask them to define faith, most of them will say that faith is believing. They are not incorrect, but they are incomplete. Because belief by itself won't get you results. And I'm interested in you getting some results. I have met too many people that are making faith mistakes and have no idea how to intentionally use their faith to get results like a carpenter uses his tools. And for the Christian, we ought to be able to know how to get our prayers answered by faith. We ought to be able to know how to get results and to produce infallible proof in our life with our faith. But as long as we go on and continue to think, well, faith is just believing, then that's not going to be enough for you to get results and to produce the proof that's necessary. And so I have seen people in hospital believing, and they died believing. I've seen people in financial situations believing, and they didn't get any victory over that situation. They believe it. So I want you to understand that there's another side to it. Like you have a coin in this society and in our country, we know that coin has to have both a heads and a tail in order to spin, in order to be a legal tender in this system of economy. We got to understand that. So likewise, where faith is concerned, you got to have the other side in order to get some things to operate. Now, I want to give you an illustration that you can gain concept from it. And I'm telling you, you know, I have finally concluded that one of the things that I'm doing now in my ministry is repeating the basics over and over and over. I have found that people who are successful are the ones who are engrossed in the basics over and over and over again. Well, I heard that before. Let's hear it again and hear it again and hear it again. Let's hear it again until you can quote it while I'm talking. Just hear it and hear it. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Not having heard. A pizza doesn't come because you ordered it last week. All right, so let's get this illustration. Let's say for just a moment, some guy were, if he were to come towards this building, but he fell out outside right before he entered into the door. And there was a doctor on hand who went to examine the man, and he concluded that this guy is dying of starvation. Now, what's the cure for a man who's dying of starvation? Food. So praise the Lord, some staff of KCM got the man, put him in a room on the side there, and they got some food and put the food on the table and sat the man in the chair. And the man sat down and he looked at the food on the table. And the man said, I believe if I eat that food, I will not die. Now, question, is that a true statement? Absolutely. The cure for a starving man would be what? Food, to eat the food, right? And so there was a Black Baptist convention being held on the left side of the convention. And they were from Atlanta, Georgia. And they heard about this situation. And you say, well, why they got to be black? Because there's a difference in a black deacon from the South. There's something about him that ain't like no other deacon in the whole world. All right. And so they were having a little convention and they heard about it and they thought they'd come and add some agreement to kind of help the situation out. Now, you got to understand, in the Black Baptist church, the deacons are very vocal. In the middle of a message, you can be saying something, they'll say, wow. You can say something else, they say, all right, son, you preaching. Or they might say, yes, sir. So they gathered in this room and this gentleman was sitting down at the table and he was looking at the food and he said again, I believe. And they said, come on now. If I eat this food, said son, that I will not die. Oh, yes, sir. You preaching now. So the man got a little emotional. He said, I believe. Ha. They said, come on now. If I eat this food, ha.
He said, "You're preaching now. I will not die." Ha! Them deacons said, "Come on, son. Come on, son." He said, "Oh, I believe if I eat this food, I will not die." Them deacons said, "Say it, son." And then the man said, "I believe." And he fell dead. All right, now let's gain concept from that illustration. What the man was saying, was it true or false? Absolutely true. What he was believing was the truth. How come he died? He didn't eat the food. Faith is the eating of the food. You can't sit there and just say, "I believe." You're going to have to add some action to what you believe. But you're also going to have to recognize that what you believe, you're going to have to have enough confidence in what you believe to add action to what you believe. Not just saying, "Well, I believe it, so I'm going to do it." But do I have confidence in what I say I believe? Now, it's so vital here for us to then understand that, no, it's not just believing. And yes, I've got to act out on what I believe. But I also got to develop confidence in what I believe so that I can act in that thing that I have. It's going to be very difficult for you to act out on something that you have no confidence in. Are you listening to what I'm saying? All right. So faith cometh from the word of God. So let the word of God equal faith. And you go back over those scriptures. Now, the word of God is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. And the word of God is the evidence of things not seen. So the just shall live, come on, by what? By the word of God. And so now when you're living by the word of God, you're believing the word of God, and you're having enough confidence in what you believe to add action to the word of God. That's going to begin to produce something. Now, in this message, this is not going to be just the definition. I'm going to give you steps of definitions until we arrive at the point where you can understand with wholeness of what it means to live this life of faith. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We need to figure out what this thing is. I mean, if I'm going to live this way, then what is it exactly? Especially in times that we're living in right now. Hebrews 11. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Stay in faith."
Stay in faith.
All right, now faith is equal to the word. Turn to him and say, "Stay in the word of God."
Stay in the word of God.
All right. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things what?
Hoped for.
And the evidence of things not
seen.
Faith is the assurance, the Amplified says. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the confirmation. Faith is the title deed. It's the confirmation. First of all, it's the confidence, confirmation, title deed of the thing that you hoped for or expected. Hope is like, it's a goal setter. I get my hope from the word. When I don't have any more hope in the world, then I open the Bible to get hope. And I take the hope from the word and use it to hope against what's in the world. Hallelujah. Like Abraham hoped against hope. How did he do that? There was no hope in the natural realm that he and Sarah could give birth and have a child. So they had to go to God's word when God said they were going to have a child. And they took their hope from the word of God and they used that to go against that lack of hope that was in the world. See, there are going to be opportunities for you to look at what the world is presenting to you. And hallelujah, if it doesn't look like it can happen from the world's hope, it's time to go to the Bible and get you some hope that you can hope against that hope. But see, without hope being in place, faith has nothing to fulfill. You got to have hope. And this is a very hopeless generation. They're running out of hope, but we got 66 books of it. You ought to be able to stir your children up with the hope that's in this. You ought to be able to stir your marriage up with the hope that's in this. When the doctor says there is no cure, you can go in the Bible and the Bible says by stripes you're healed. You can take the hope from the word and hope against that report of doom and gloom and get something that'll surprise the doctor. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's look at this. It's the confidence. It's the assurance. It's the title deed. Now, what is it that, how many of you came in from out of town? Raise your hands. All right, now look at this. How is it that you can make reservations to get a hotel room, believe, and act? So obviously you have some confidence in order to come. You made reservations. You believed that you had a hotel room waiting on you. You were confident about it. So you got on a plane or a bus or you drove and you put some action to what you had confidence to. And when you get to the hotel, what would happen if the lady at the front desk says, "You know what? We're full. We don't see your name nowhere. And it doesn't appear that you have a room." Now, what I'm going to do, because every time I make a reservation, I get what? Y'all better hush now. What? A confirmation. You can have some church here. I get a confirmation number, right? And so I just tell the little sweetie at the desk, "Hold on, darling. I have a confirmation number here." Now, what this confirmation number means is that I don't know what your computer telling you, but this confirmation number is proof that I have a room somewhere in this hotel. Now, I don't know if it's going to be your room. I don't know if y'all got to go build me one. I don't know if y'all got to put somebody out. All I know is that there's a room somewhere. Because here's the proof of what I can't see. But I'm telling you, it's here. Go find it, baby. Are you following what I'm saying? You had confidence in that confirmation number. The scripture also said it's a title deed. It's a title deed. Now, what is that? You get a title deed for your car. I don't have to see your car, because the title deed is the evidence that the car exists somewhere. It's proof of its existence somewhere. Well, see, the word of God is like that confirmation number. The word of God is like that title deed. Glory be to God. It's like the title deed. It's like the confirmation number. It's your proof that what you found in the word is evidence that and proof that that thing exists somewhere. For example, doctor says you're going to die. And you say, "All righty. Appreciate it, doc. How much I owe you?" The doc say, "Didn't you hear me?" "Yeah, I heard you, but I got some insurance. I'm finna go to a place that'll give me hope, because you just said y'all don't have a cure for it, right? Huh? And what you just said? Answer me. Huh? Okay. Well, I'm gonna go look in my word and see if I can find a title deed or confirmation that there's healing. Hallelujah for what you don't have healing for." And see, I don't need a whole lot of title deeds. One will do. And I turn over to Isaiah 53 and find out that by his stripes ye were. And if you were, you was. And if you was, you is. So this will work just fine. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold on to this, because this is the only proof that I have that lets me know that my cure exists somewhere. Now, doc, you might not have it. I'm not blaming you. But my authority goes all the way up. Hallelujah. Where Jesus is seated, because I've been invited to sit with him. And so what y'all don't have right here in the natural, if I can't find it nowhere in the natural, it's in the spirit. But it's somewhere. If it didn't exist, then I wouldn't have this title deed. So by pure fact that I got this scripture, then the proof of it, the scripture says it's somewhere. So I'm not going to give up like it's not nowhere. You should not have ever let me been able to find this scripture. Because if you ever let me find evidence that I have proof that something exists, then you're not going to be able to talk me out of it. Oh, y'all understand what I'm saying? Stay in faith. Somebody shout, stay in faith. You're holding on to that. You're holding on to that. Well, what about this time of lack? Not for you. It ain't no time of lack for you. No, you still in abundance. You still have evidence that this is a time of abundance. You still have evidence that this is a time of increase. You still have evidence that this is a time of multiplication. You still have evidence that this is a time of harvest. I'm not going to turn loose my title deed just because it looked one way out there. I don't live based on that system. I live based on this system. I'm going to hold on to my faith. Well, praise the Lord. The gas is $5 a barrel. I got it. What you mean you got it? I already got it. Where is it? Philippians 4:19. Boy, can't you read? I got it. Bible says, but my God shall supply. So we're talking about godly supply.
Yes, come on now.
My God shall supply all of my needs or demands according to his riches and glory. I got it. And every time you go to fill up and you go pay for that gas, you need to turn it into a praise service. Thank you, Lord, I had it, just like you said. Thank you, Lord, I had it, just like you said. Hallelujah, went up $7. Thank you, Lord, I had it, just like you said. And you keep doing that. You keep doing it. See, you're standing in faith. You're praising God. You're standing in faith. You're holding on to what you know to hold on to. You're standing in faith. You're not going to be moved by what you see. You're not going to be moved by what you hear. You're not going to be moved by the reports of others. You're only moved by the word of God. You've already made your mind up that you live and you exist and you abide in that word. And if that word abides in you, then you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. Somebody shout amen. Now, I need to do one more thing before I start my sermon. Confidence is something that has to be developed. Fred Morgan, are you here? Confidence is something that's got to be developed, something you got to develop. If you don't develop it, then, you know, you might have some problems. All right? This is Mr. Prosperity Scriptures. I've been hanging around Mr. Prosperity Scriptures for a while. I know Mr. Prosperity Scriptures, and I got a lot of confidence in it. This is Mr. Healing Scriptures. I don't hang around him as much as I hung around this guy. Okay, now they both have the ability to support me. The issue is going to be, have I developed confidence in their ability to do the job? Well, Mr. Prosperity, look, been around him all the time. No, he's going to support me. I ain't got no problem with it. I ain't got to even think about it. He's going to always take care of me. You understand? What? Say that now. What? He's going to always take care of me because I spend time with him. But when I try to act out on word I hadn't spent much time with, there's a tendency for me to kind of want to support myself. Maybe he can do it, but I don't know. I want to, so I kind of, okay, he got it. Now, I spent a little bit more time with him, and okay, he looked like he's doing all right then. Hey. If I keep doing that, it won't be long before I have as much confidence in his ability as I do as his. Hell, say that now. What? Notice, they both have the ability to support you and to produce in your life, but you're going to have to spend time with it long enough to develop the confidence. Somebody shout confidence. In order to put into the word of God so it can do its job. Thank you, guys. Here's my next definition for faith. Therefore, faith is an expression of your confidence a practical expression of your confidence that you have in God and in His Word. Faith is a practical expression of your confidence that you have in God and in His Word. When you walked in here this morning, you expressed your confidence in this chair's ability to support you. And you know what? You took a seat. Imagine what would happen if you could express your confidence in the Word of God like you expressed your confidence in this chair's ability to support you. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? A practical expression of your confidence in God and in His Word. And yet, we're still not at the place where you can get results. With what you just heard, you still need to go to that next place if you're going to get some intentional results in your life. All right, let's go to that next level. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and Luke chapter 8. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Let's read 23 out loud together. Ready? Read. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Notice he refers to the word of God as incorruptible seed. He refers to it as incorruptible seed. When it's incorruptible seed, it's seed that'll always produce. It is seed that will never fail. All right, now go to Luke chapter 8. Verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. And we'll come back to this whole thing in a minute. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Now, thus far, we have declared that faith is equal to the word of God, and the word of God is equal to seed. Faith is equal to the word of God, and the word of God is equal to seed. Now, let me ask you something. If you have seed, in order to get a harvest from that seed, what must you do with that seed? Can you expect to get a harvest from seed that is not planted? If you had corn seed and you had the corn seed in a bag in the barn, can you expect to get a harvest of corn? Well, the word is seed. And unless this word seed is planted, how then can we expect a harvest? We're no different than the farmer who's sitting on the porch next to his bag of corn seed, upset at God because he don't have a corn harvest. No, he didn't have a corn harvest because he hadn't planted corn seed. And we'll talk about the different grounds, but I need you to get this concept. Seed, the word of God, is seed that has to be planted. Something we need to focus in on. It's seed that has to be planted. Well, what's the ground that will receive word seed? It's your heart. That's why the Bible says to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues, or I like to say it like this, the harvest of life. The harvest of life comes out of your heart. So, word seed has to be planted if you're going to get the harvest of what's on the inside of that. The word of God will break you out of any container that you're in life. Oh, did you get that?
Yes, sir.
The word of God will break you out of any container that you're in life. And what I want you to see is the power of this word seed being planted on the inside of your heart. Now, let me give you, how do I get the seed from the bag into my heart? And first of all, say this. Say the Bible is not a book of rules. It's a bag of seed.
Word seed.
Now, as faith people, we got to start seeing the word of God as seed. Now, in order to get the seed from the word to the heart, there are three entrances into a man's heart. Number one, through the eye gate. Number two, through the ear gate. Number three, through the mouth gate. The eyes, the ears, the mouth will enter then. It is a pathway that'll enter into your heart. And you can sow it. You have dominion. You've been given dominion by God to be able to take his word seed, sow it in your heart, and out of your heart will grow the harvest of life. But I must remind you that your heart will grow words, whether they're negative, positive, or God's word. Your heart will grow words. Your heart will grow words. So you've got to become a good custodian over what is going through your eye, your ear, out of your mouth, because your heart will grow word. You have dominion to grow a harvest out of your life from God's word. But Satan now has to have your garden in order to grow his word. So he will now try to dominate you at your eye, your ear, your mouth gate to get his seed in there. And out of your heart will grow the issues that came from his word. Your whole life right now is the sum total of how you're farming words. Words. What kind of words are you hearing? What kind of words are going on the inside of you? Words. They're powerful. And many people think they're just insignificant, nothings. That the word is just an insignificant, words are insignificant nothings. And as long as you have that attitude, you'll never understand just what you're dealing with. Just what you're dealing with. In one of the Jewish Bibles, it said, and man and God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became another speaking spirit like God. The significance of being able to use a weapon like the mouth and to use words and to stick it on the inside of everything starts with it. In the beginning was the word. Everything starts with a word because that's seed. Everything in your life, where you are right now, is a result of words. Words will produce the way you think. The way you think will produce the way you feel. See, if you want to feel better, you got to think better. And if you're going to think better, you got to get the right words. And we're blessed as Christians to have the right words. But sometimes we don't realize it because we don't understand how powerful words are. Words will produce the way you think. The way you think will produce the way you feel. The way you feel will produce the decisions you make. The decisions you make will produce the actions you take. The actions you take will produce the habits you create. And something about habits, once you create a habit, then that habit turns around and makes you. Your habits will create your character, and your character will create your destination in life. Now, if you don't like your destination, if you don't like where you are, all you got to do is go in reverse. If you don't like your destination, then change your character. If you don't like your character, then change your habits. If you don't like your habits, then change your actions. If you don't like your actions, then change your emotions. If you don't like your emotions, then change the way you think. If you don't like the way you think, then change the words that you're exposed to and the words that you're speaking. You see, the word of God will produce word of God thinking. Word of God thinking will produce word of God emotions. Word of God emotions will produce word of God decisions. Word of God decisions will produce word of God actions. Word of God actions will produce word of God habits. Word of God habits will produce word of God character. Word of God character will produce word of God destination. Why? That was the seed that started the whole thing. Words are powerful. In fact, let me just show you how powerful they are. I ain't gonna finish this either which way you go, so we might as well just go wherever. Psalms 145. I want to show you something here. What are these things called? Words, seeds. I go to the hospital and I ask a person, I say, what's going on? They say, the doctor said I'm going to die. I say, well, what do you say? They say, well, I'm going to live. And then I'm going to say, based on what? Well, I believe God. Yeah. But what are you growing? What have you sown? What have you planted? I can appreciate your religious response, but you, dude, you're dealing with your life. What seed have you sown that will let us know that this is going to happen? And then they go pulling out Isaiah. They go pulling out 1 Peter. I'm like, oh, well, praise God. That's what you're growing. You're growing healing. Hallelujah. You're growing healing. Hallelujah. You're growing healing. Well, now that's exactly what they're going to have. But now some guy sitting in the hospital talking about, oh, God, I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Praise God. He better hope he got somebody interceding for him, because he's going to die. Because you hadn't sown anything. You're just like that farmer planting corn. You hadn't planted any corn seed, and yet you're expecting for corn to be harvested. The time we spend standing in faith is the time we spend making sure that that seed gets on the inside of our heart, and that we're guarding our eyes and our ears and our mouth so that other types of seed won't get in and choke what we've been sowing or mess with what we've been sowing. It's not that we're trying to be deep. We're working on something. That's the reason why we're not going to the movies with you tonight, because we're working on something. That's the reason why we don't want to hear a bunch of foolishness going through our ear, because we're working on something. It's not that we don't like you no more, but we ain't got time to try to get no 30-fold. We need 100-fold. I can't be playing church, fooling around. I mean, it just always bugged me. Psalm 30, Psalm 60, Psalm 100. I'm like, I need 100. What? I need 100. I need 100. There are cases in my life, Lord, I don't need no 30. Now I got to have 100. I said, I need to know why Psalm 30 and why Psalm 60 and why Psalm 100-fold. I need to understand that, Lord. Well, what happens is, you know, I don't go home with you. And at church, it seems like you're pretty consistent. But in reality, 30% of the time, you said the word, you guarded your eyes, your ears, your mouth. But then 70% of the time, you contradicted all of that. So you only got 30-fold. Yeah, well, some 60. Well, you know, 40% of the time, you know, versus 60% of the time, 60% of the time you spoke the word, 60% of the time you did what you need to do, 60% of the time you took care of business. But it was that 40% when you got around mama and them. But then the guy that got 100-fold, all he hear, word. All he talking, word. All he looking at, word. He's cut off the potential of anything else to shut down his 100-fold potential, because he has engrossed himself in nothing but the word. That's all he going to speak. That's all he going to look at. That's all he going to hear. He can't afford 30, 60. He got to have 100-fold. Therefore, ain't got no time for another world, dark shadows, rhyme hope. He ain't got time for none of that. You understand? He ain't got time to on no edge of night. He ain't got time for none of that, because he's trying to get his harvest.
You in Psalms 145? Verse 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Now, by that word works, do you have a letter, a little small letter?
Yes, sir.
Referring you to go to place in your Bible, go see what is that. That's going to tell you what it means in the Hebrew. What does it mean? Things or what?
Words.
Things or words. Well, which one is it? Things or words? Well, go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is pretty clear here. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to show you something about words that I hope will just revolutionize how you're doing some things. Because we're spiritual faith farmers. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody shout, I'm a faith farmer.
I'm a faith farmer.
I harvest faith victories.
I harvest faith victories.
Now look at verse 15, 1 Samuel 3:15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. Now watch closely. And he said, he what?
Said.
He what?
Said.
He said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? What's the thing that the Lord said? Oh, wait a minute. I thought you say words. You say words, but he called what he said a thing. What is the thing that the Lord said unto you? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also if thou hide any what?
Thing.
Any what?
Thing.
But now you have a little letter by that word thing.
Yes.
Go down there, and in Hebrew it's translated word. Huh? Word? Thing? All right, watch this. I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and moreover, if thou hide anything or word from me of all of the things or words that he said unto me. And Samuel told him every thing or word, and he had nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. Things or word. It comes from this Hebrew word, devar, which is translated things or words. Now, I'll submit to you that words are things in seed form. That when you speak a word, you just release the thing. But you don't see the thing in its original state, because in its original state, the thing is a word. Because the thing is in the seed. It's in the container of the seed word. Ha. God said and God said and God said, then God saw. But what God saw started off with what he said, because words are things in seed form. Ooh, Jesus. I said words are things in seed form. And whatsoever thing you say. And that's what you got to get a hold of. That when I speak words, I've just given birth to a thing. Words are containers. It's a seed that contains within it the very beginning of the thing that shows up once planted. Then it breaks out of its shell and it bursts into this realm of life. You're not wasting your time when you speak God's word. Go to where is that scripture? Lord Jesus, Brother Hagin scripture, Mark 11. Yeah. Start at verse 12. Word things. See. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Somebody said, what does this got to do with the blessing? A whole bunch.
Absolutely.
You ain't getting no blessing if you don't know how to do this.
Glory to God.
Look at verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is Jesus talking. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. So I don't know why the tree had leaves on it, because most of the time when you find a fig tree with leaves on it, it's supposed to have figs on it. But this fig tree had leaves on it, but it didn't have no figs on it. Watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto this tree. Now, hold on a minute. How you gonna answer if ain't nobody asked or said something? See, that tree was talking. That tree was saying, you hungry. I know it, but you ain't getting none here today, Bubba.
And Jesus answered it. Jesus answered it. Watch this. Jesus answered it and said, he said, Jesus is talking to it. He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples did what? They heard the words that Jesus spoke to it, right? All right, so they went on down to the place where they're going through the gate. They came back about 24 hours later. Let's look at verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest. He said he cursed it. Oh, I see what a curse is now. Speaking negative of. And the blessing is just the opposite. Speaking good of. Speaking negative of, cursing. Speaking good of, bless. Yeah. Bless. And God said, and bless them. Yeah, starts with words, doesn't it? The blessing starts with a word, right? And so if you want blessings in your life, make sure blessings coming out your mouth. And now watch this. And in the morning, the fig tree which thou cursest withered away, and Jesus answering. There you go again. Answering what was asked. It's obviously what was asked. How'd you do this? I heard you when you said those words, and now I'm seeing just what you said. How'd you do this? And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Those things. See, you say things. Those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I spent time just with that last few pieces of verses. And I ran into a translation that says, he shall have if you believe those things that you are saying. And he was making reference to what you're saying all the time. In other words, when you speak a lot of things you speak, do you believe them? I tell you what, boy, Uncle Fred took me so much I was about to die. Now, do you really believe what you just said? You really believe that Uncle Fred joke was going to kill you? Because there's something that's going on and something's messing up with the timing of our results. When we leave church and start speaking sarcasms that we don't believe. I tell you one thing, it was so hot outside, I thought I was in hell. You ain't got no idea how hot hell is, do you? It ain't never been that hot. What's going on is your mouth saying one thing, your spirit don't know what to do with it because it ain't the truth. And so when you need something, now you want to speak the word and believe the word. And then half the time you don't believe half the stuff you're saying. So it's kind of like chemistry. What you want is a reaction. Now, the word of God and the principles of faith are always active. But now your words are not as active as the principles of faith. So when you combine them, eventually you'll get results, but you're not going to get them as quick as you want to, because you got to have two active chemicals coming together to produce immediate response. Jesus believed everything he said. And when he saw that fig tree, he said what he said. He believed that nobody else was going to eat from this tree, not no more, because that's how he lived his life. And so when he combined that with the force of with faith and put it together, bam, he got reaction. And within 24 hours, we see what he said. And some of us have said stuff and it's been 24 years and we still ain't seen it. This came from a conversation I had with God. I said, God, I need to see some stuff quicker than what I'm seeing. He said, well, you need to examine your words to make sure that you believe everything you say. And you need to get your words with everything you say active, so that when you combine them with the principles of faith, which are always active, and you put it together, you're going to get some reaction.
Amen.
Glory be to God. So start looking at everything you say. You believe what you say? Woman, you're driving me crazy. You think your wife driving you crazy? Do you really believe she's driving you crazy? Well, don't keep saying that, because when you really need something to happen from the word, see, what happens is people will say, by his stripes, I'm healed. And the principle of faith is active. But what you just said is not active, because now you're saying something you need, but now your spirit trying to say, now, do they really believe that? And so it eventually will work itself out, but you might die before the reaction takes place. God, my time already gone. Hot the muddy. Wow. Whew. So what we're practicing in our house is when we say something, we ask ourselves, do you believe that? If a little chihuahua comes in and say, look at that big dog. Now, do you believe that's a big dog? You believe that's a big dog? Oh, you know that's a little bitty dog. But there's a whole issue about sarcasm that we might have to begin to address. Anyway, thank y'all for letting me talk to you this morning. I have the honor and pleasure of receiving this morning's offering. And here's what I want you to get a hold of. In Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's ministry, have you ever received anything spiritual? Raise your hands. Okay, well, according to the word, it would be fitting and proper for you then to share of your material gifts, because you have received spiritual gifts. And even this morning, if you've received something spiritual, then complete the transaction by sharing something material. Sharing of your finances. Sow into what you just heard. Sow into this convention. Sow into these ministries, these great men of God, and what they're saying and what they're preaching and what they're revealing and opening up to us. And our ears are hearing it. And that precious seed is entering in. And if we do right by that seed, this convention will grow a lot of good harvest in your life. But put heaven on notice through the offering. Oh, yeah, that's good. Watch this. A lot of times we think, well, I'm just going to sow a financial seed. And praise God, I'm going to get a harvest. That's partly true. Because watch this. If you don't have a word seed prior to that financial seed, then that financial seed won't have a future. Every financial seed you sow ought to be motivated by a word seed that's entered into your heart.
Amen.
I tithe because I love God and I honor God and I respect God. I give because I love him and I honor him and I respect him. So giving financially, I am moved to do it out of my honor and love and respect for God. But when I think about what the word says, given and shall be given. If you receive anything spiritual, then, you know, return some things that are material. Those are the words. Those are the seeds on the inside that will fertilize my corresponding action with money. And all of a sudden now my money seed has a future because it's being supported by word seed. You can take a guy who's been in a church all of his life and he's always participated in offerings, but he's never gotten a harvest. Why? He doesn't have any revelation on what he's doing. And without having revelation on what he's doing, then he's not going to really see the things that you and I see, because we have the word seed on it. So take what you've been hearing and sow and keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing. I remember when I started coming to these conventions, man, before I was a speaker, coming to these conventions, and it was an opportunity to sow and to sow and to sow. I went by the bank. I bought a stack of money for sowing. And to give and to give, because I was believing that this is good ground and something supernatural is going to break out of my life because of these 6 days that I spent immersed in the Word of God. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We thank you for this opportunity to plant. We thank you for this opportunity to sow into good ground. And Lord, we thank you that we give and it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men given to our bosoms. For with the same measure we meet, it'll be measured back unto us. We love you, Lord. And we love the kingdom. And we love this ministry. And we give to it, Lord, motivated by your word and your will. And we thank you for it. The angels are doing your pleasure right now. And your pleasure is to prosper us. In Jesus' name. Speak to our hearts. Tell us what to give and we'll give it. And we thank you. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hands. And the ushers will be more than happy to minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. When you give this seed this morning, speak to it. Say, you will go, you will grow, and I will see you sooner rather than later. Sooner is always better, isn't it? Sooner rather than later. Just keep your hands up and the ushers will get to you. I really, really believe in our church, we've been receiving, in two of our churches, we've been receiving offerings after the sermon so that people can receive something spiritual and then respond with their gifts, their tithes and their offerings. I'm just getting great testimonies of how that word is just working in their lives because they get a whole new revelation on giving and sowing in those areas. All right, ushers, you can go ahead and receive that this morning's offering. And when you give, stand up. And at this time, would you please welcome the ministry gift of Dr. Jesse Duplantis as he comes. Go get him, Doc. Love you, man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Dr. Dollar a good hand clap. He certainly deserves it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me add to it, thank you for giving the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You know, the Bible says when the gospel's preached to the world, the end shall come. You just shorten the end by giving today. Hallelujah. Just think about it. We can get everybody free. People say, how do you know God's coming? He said, when the gospel is preached to the world, the end shall come. That's Jesus' words. So I think we've delayed the calling of God or coming to get us because a lot of times people wouldn't obey. But that's all right. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Go ahead and receive the offering. Praise the Lord. Stretch a little bit. You might want to have to rub something. Close your eyes. Whatever it takes, you know. Glory to God. What a blessing. It's always a high honor to be a part of these conventions or to be a part of anything that Brother and Sister Copeland are doing because of their heart's love for people and for the outreaches that they have. It's just such a blessing, and I mean that sincerely. I preach a lot of conventions, oh God, with the biggest and the best without sounding prideful about that, but these believers' conventions are just special. They're blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, they're still passing those buckets. You that are watching by, if you like to give, you can click on and give also. Praise the Lord. Be a blessing. Well, y'all people don't go to bed very much, do y'all? We got a bunch of people in here this morning. Glory to God. I laid down on the bed, then I woke up. I went, Jesus. I said, is California time quicker? What is this? Hallelujah. Long Beach, California. Went and get some, while people still giving, going to the bathroom, coming back, we got to drive around and go to a little restaurant. Finally saw that Long Beach. Like a dummy, I said, boy, that's a Long Beach. That's why they call it Long Beach. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and get your blood flowing. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a blessing. All right, you may be seated if you can. Thank you, ushers, for being so kind to serve the people. The other day, I got the chance to preach to the youth. I don't hardly ever do that because if you look at me, you know. But I sure had a wonderful time. I love being around young people. It's just such blessings of the Lord. And I think today Brother Colton's going to go preach to the youth too. So both of us, Jeremy asked. I'll tell you what, Jeremy is doing a phenomenal job. Oh, Jesus. That young man has got some great faith and great power in his life. It's just such a blessing of the Lord. So your children are not being babysat. They're being taught the word of the living God. And it's such a blessing. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn with me again to the book of Mark, chapter 11. As you turn into Mark chapter 11, how many of y'all enjoyed last night? Did we have a good time or what? I hope you learned some practical things. That's application, because that was school time last night. So you can walk out of here and flow in that type of anointing. I don't know about you people. I just want things to work. I don't like spending my time on things that don't work. They should function and they should work, especially when God said they would. Now, in these day sessions, I've been preaching on four words that can change your life. And we have to read again in Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they will come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now, this is part three to this situation. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs are not yet. And Jesus answered and said, so the fig tree was talking to him. Hang on, there was something going on there other than just looking at a leaf. Jesus answered. You don't answer something unless somebody asks you a question. Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Go down to verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remember, saying unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, a lot of people want you to have the faith of God, but you can't have the faith of God or the faith toward God till you have faith in God. God as a person, not an institution, not a religion, but a living, breathing individual. God speaking. So if God's speaking, then he that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. So in part one, real quickly, so you can check your notes, we talked about faith in God as a dominant conviction concerning God, his being, his character, and his government. So he's more than just God. You got to find out why is God and what does he do as God. I said in every area of life, it's impossible to succeed without believing. Because see, if you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to believe in you? That your faith is a measure and condition of your victory. So if you got great victory, because you got great faith. And if you do not believe in what you're doing, you cannot do it well. One of Jesus' reputations was he hath done all things well. That's Mark chapter 7, verse 37. Doing things well. So the secret of the church's strength is revealed in the words, have faith in God. That was part one. Then part two, we dealt with the word doubt. Doubt is a cancer growth in the spirit. It must be cut out by the scalpel of faith. And what is the scalpel of faith? But the sword of the spirit. And Jesus asked these preachers, why reason ye in your hearts? You don't have problems in your mind. It's when it begins to seed into your heart that you get into trouble. Because the real you is the spirit of man. That's why old people are not old inside. They're alive and bright and flowing. Glory to God. Why? Because they're the spirit. That's who you are. You're a spirit housed in a soul and clothed in a body. So now I said to you that doubtfulness is a chronic condition of the mind. It cripples people, makes them hesitant and do nothing. So to get rid of that, Romans 12:2 gives you that. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going over this for some of you that were not in my sessions earlier. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So you have a responsibility to prove what is real. I said the spirit of doubt is the spirit of weakness. Why? Because it always looked at the dark side of things. You can tell when people are looking at the dark side of things, they're people of doubt. Because they don't think something can happen in life. Fear, I don't know if I said this, and I may get a little bit more on this in this third session. Fear is a lack of spirit strength. When fear begins to operate in your spirit is becoming weak. Yet the spirit of doubt is the spirit of weakness. Fear will produce doubt. Then I said doubt starves the spirit and does not let it receive nutrition from God himself. God trying to feed you, and yet you won't be fed. And prime example, you ever tried to feed a baby that didn't want to eat? Boy, they'll turn that head. I mean, you got to just trick them. You got to make them laugh, ha ha, and then jam it in their mouths. How many of y'all ever did that to your babies, you know? Yeah, you just got to trick them. And you'd be surprised. Some of y'all got some food on your cheek. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, just sometimes you got to make you laugh. That's why I use humor. I had old Roberts tell me, they said, man, you got me laughing, then you cut my guts out. I said, Chancellor Roberts, do I do that? Yeah, you do that. So, and it's the same way. It's an analogy. It's the same way, you know, you try to get somebody, you got to receive nutrition. So I've had people, you know, they didn't believe any of this stuff. And I get them to laugh and they go, wham, I just slammed their mouth full of it. That's the way that works. Now, let's get into part three of four words that can change your life. And I want you to write this down. Now, I could just preach this for 16 hours, but there's more to it. And I want you to see this. Faith causes the intellect to see, the conscience to respond, the will to choose, and the heart to revere. Now, I could preach 4 hours on that. Take each one of those things and just really tear it up. But due to time constraints, I can't do that. I said faith causes the intellect to see. Now, you got to understand what faith is. Now, faith is. Faith is a now thing, not a tomorrow thing. Yet it has the ability to create future. Faith will create future. But it was not designed to create future. It was designed to create now. Everybody likes things done now. When you want to eat, you want to eat now. If you want a new dress, you want it now. You know, when your children want to go play, they want to go play now. So we are actually a now generation. So faith causes the intellect to see. That's why Romans 12 verse 2 is so important. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may know. Now, this faith causes your intellect or your mind, your will, your emotion, or the soul of who you are to see. That's what you want to see something? God said, so you may prove. In other words, prove. That's why tithing, he says, prove me now, yet saith the Lord of hosts. And the reason why people don't understand tithing, and I've said this before, because tithing is not a natural phenomenon. Tithing is a spiritual thing. That's why people don't understand it. Try to explain it. Try to say, well, it's not in the New Testament. Yeah, it is. It's all over the Bible. It's in the book of, it's in Eden. It starts out. God said, long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest time. And you know, and that tree that they were not allowed to eat, God, and think about this. I mean, how many trees were in the Garden of Eden? Must have been a bunch of them. And you know, and the Lord said, Adam, Eve, just knock yourself out. Just enjoy yourself. Just eat like you want. Just enjoy yourself. I just like to have one tree. Just one tree. All God asked for was one tree. Now they could eat of all them trees. Just give me this tree. I would call it his tithe, his holy thing. Amen. And you notice it wasn't the tree of life. Which seemed like to me that'd be the good tree. Now if I had my choice of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm going to hit the life tree. You see what I'm saying? I would have went straight for that life tree. But maybe they didn't understand what life was, so that's why they went to the tree of knowledge, good and evil. A lot of people don't understand life. So, see, that Romans 12, verse 2 causes your intellect to perk up because it makes you prove. So, tithing is a spiritual concept. That's why I received it so easily when I first heard it was in the scripture. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithe in the storehouse that it be meat in mine house. Prove, never go with that word again. Prove me not, here saith the Lord of hosts, if I not open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. So you see, and I've said this many times, the reason why I know tithing is a spiritual concept. Have you ever been tempted to tithe? I just don't think so. Now, George Pearson is the pastor of Eagle Mountain Church. And how long have you been pastoring that church now? Several years. 15 years? I don't think you've ever had a counseling session with somebody coming up to you and say, George, pastor, I need prayer because I'm about ready to yield to tithing. I need some help. I just don't think so. See, because it's not a natural phenomenon. It's a spiritual thing. Even the devil can't understand tithing. He hates it. Think about it. So these four words that can change your life, have faith in God. I've had people say, well, you know, Brother Jesse, you seem to be successful. It's not because of me. It's because of who I serve. Now, that doesn't mean the devil don't fight me, but I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. I don't deal with crisis. Some people create crisis to try to get something to function and operate. I've seen some people, they'll create a crisis to raise money, even though it doesn't exist, but they'll just make you do it. And they'll tell you, oh, Lord, if you don't help me today, oh, Jesus, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want people to misunderstand what I said last night. Nobody challenged me on it. But I love miracles, but I prefer you to have them. Because if you're living from miracle to miracle, you're in trouble. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord. Make white people sound like black people sometimes. Oh, Lord, Jesus. Man, do everything you can to get to a miracle. Miracles, God works for you, but blessings, God works with you. Now, I don't know about you. When I go to church, I like a church that's vibrant. You know what I'm saying? I guess, you know, I had some black people tell me that day, you know so much about us. Well, I'd raise with you. It's called po', not poor. Poor, that's a four-letter word. We weren't poor. We were po', two letters. But you know what? We survived. We would share food with each other. Now, you know, I'm from South Louisiana, and you may not understand this word. Sometimes we'd have what we call a boucherie. Anybody know what a boucherie is? That's the butcher of a hog. Oh, now, you see, you know, poor people love pork. We pork people. Son, I mean, a hog, see a poor person, oh, they just know they're in trouble. Because you eat a pig from his lips, he ain't nothing left. I mean, the only thing you lose on a hog is the squeal. That's it. I mean, you eat his feet, you eat his lips, you eat his skin. Now, you call it hog crackly, we call it gratin. Give me some of the gratin, Lord Jesus. So that's not good for you. Yeah, but you die with a smile on your face. Ooh, Jesus. So we'd have a boucherie, which means we'd kill a hog. Okay, watch this now. And we make, I don't know if y'all know this in California, you ever heard of hog head cheese? Oh, son, with crackers. Oh, it'll stop your heart, but you'll go, I'm going to take another bite before I die. That's just good stuff. Now, don't go buy it, but it's good. You know, it's just not healthy. And we invite everybody in the community right there. Everybody would just come over, and we'd butcher that hog, my God, and someone would bring a dish. I don't know, it was some vegetables or whatever. We wasn't too much on vegetables, you know. We like cholesterol, you know. Vegetables, Jesus, help us. That's because the people that ate vegetables were really poor. And we'd have a boucherie, and we'd sing and play, and somebody bring a guitar or something like that. And now where I was raised, it wasn't like this. This is the day. It wasn't white. It going no 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 no. Hello, Lord, Lord. Now that was my family. Well, we would, and that's why we never did like country music. Nothing against it, but it's just too white. Oh, God, I'm going to get some ugly letter now. Lord Jesus. It's just a little white, you know. That's why I said something wrong with Charlie Pride. Charlie Pride. I said, somebody died you. But you ain't black. You white. You know, today I passed you on the street, and my heart fell at your feet. That don't excite you, does it? It just didn't excite me. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Whatever. I don't know. They call it yodeling. They call it yodeling. I call it you can't sing. Oh, God, don't get mad at me. I have my opinion now. Four words that'll change your life. Don't listen to country. No. Oh, God, I'm just joking. I'm just playing. Okay. Yeah, I better get back on this here. So faith causes the intellect to see. So I was raised like that. So when I play, I have, you know, I'm from New Orleans. It's the blues. Lord. She stole my money, Lord. That's all I can say because some of the songs are not too religious. Let me just say that. So I was raised like that. So when I first heard Phil Driscoll, I said, somebody dyed him white. Because he go, Allah, for thou, O Lord, on high. I go, get down with your bad self, Phil. Go ahead. Bavale, And all the white people say, no, of all the earth. That's why you see Phil with his trumpet. Come on, boys. Love that song. That's my favorite song you sing. You just do that perfect. So faith causes the intellect to see. And then from that, the conscience to respond. Because the conscience will respond to faith. Let me say it again. Faith is a now thing, not a tomorrow thing. Yet it has the ability to create future. It wasn't designed to create future. It was designed to create now, but it has those abilities in it. So faith causes the intellect to see, the conscience to respond. In other words, your soul begins to get in line with your spirit. Because now you've proven something that's invisible, bringing it from the invisible to the visible. Do you see that? Because the evidence of faith is not seen. But once that soulless realm or that conscience begins to respond to that spirit, you can see God. You know God instead of just believing in God. You sense his presence. It becomes physical. You might get the goosebumps, for lack of a better term. You could sense it. See what I'm saying? Because now the conscience is responding. And then the will to choose. You can go the wrong way or the right way. Doesn't make any difference, but you're going to have to go some way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, it produces the will to choose. I choose to live in the blessing. I choose that. Now, I've had some people tell me, what about these generational curses? Well, what about them? Well, and a lot of people preach that, and I'm not being critical of it. I just made up my mind to get rid of a generational curse. You make a generational choice. Amen. Just because your daddy was a drunk don't mean you were drunk. Right. You have to make a choice not to do that. Amen. See, that's the will to choose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, don't mess up on this microphone because the devil don't want you to hear this stuff because this will shut him down in his tracks. Yeah. See, you see what I'm saying? Thank you. So when you understand the will to choose, then out of the will, the heart to revere. I revere the things of God. So let me say it again, then I'm going to deal with that revere real quick. Faith causes the intellect to see, the conscience to respond, the will to choose, and the heart to revere. People say, but Brother Jesse, and I'm going to say something. I really have a hard time sinning. I have to make myself. I have to get in the flesh to sin. But if I crucify my flesh daily instead of Sunday, what stops me from that? Because of my faith? No, because of my heart to revere his work. You can't be perfect in a moment, but you can be holy in a moment. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if you really want to get God's attention, holiness is really the fabric that God, man, God loves holiness because he is a holy God. Now, holiness is not legalism. Holiness is not if you wear makeup or not. Man kind of gets into that. No. Holiness is from the inside. If you are a true holy person, it will come out on the outside. And I want you to look nice. First time I ever heard of holy people, I remember as a small boy, they were Pentecostal people. That was some ugly people. I don't mean that to be rude, but it just was. I don't see how I could have ever had any lust in a Pentecostal church. I mean, I heard the preacher ran off with the piano player. I said, did he see her? Did he look at her? Did he see her? Because that's a sweat hog mama there, boy. I ain't kidding you. You don't know who she was, so I ain't saying. I couldn't understand that. Now, I could understand a Delilah get you. Could Delilah, what's up, Delilah? There's just something about ugly that's noticeable. That's all I'm going to say about that. So I certainly didn't want to be Pentecostal. And they were poor. Why? Because they were Pentecostals. Hey. I'm on a roll today. What you want me to do? And I thought, my God. And they'd say, God can do anything. But he couldn't pay the church note. Couldn't take care of the utilities. Couldn't take care of the pastor. So I don't care how much power you have. If you can't take care of things, something ain't right. See, faith in God. You see, a lot of people, even though they love God, they don't understand his character or his being or his government because they never chose to delve into that area of who God is. Now, write this down. Faith in God is an act of the Spirit. It's an act of the Spirit. Now, what that means is where God is drawn in from the distant regions of speculation. See, people constantly speculating about God. They speculate in the natural. That's why they can't understand God that he is, that God is God. So faith in God is an act of spirit or act of the spirit, which means where God is drawn in from the distant regions of speculation. I see, before I was born again, I began to speculate about God. Is he real? Is he not real? Is this just a man-made thing? Or quote, let's get real scientific. Do we have a God gene? Nah, that's a new thing on the map now. That the reason why people believe in God is a gene called the God gene. Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah. You've heard it? Yeah. The God gene. That's why people believe in God. Well, you know, and they're so into gene therapy. See. And then, you know what? They switch it over to a homosexual gene. What does a God gene look like? What does a homosexual gene look like? Same, we're talking about genes. I mean, what does a God gene look like? In nomine Patri, Fili, Spiritu Santo. What does a homosexual gene look like? Oh. Don't write me no ugly letter now. I'm just explaining something here. Don't get mad at me. You get Robin Williams an Oscar. You want to kill me? Now, I'm not against nobody. I don't hate people. I mean that sincerely. Come on. But my point is, if you're going to get in the genes, wonder what your gene look like. Now, there's a fat gene. You heard about that one? You can see him easier. Now, I don't believe there's a fat gene. You can say what they want. Or a homosexual gene or a God gene. But there's such a thing as an ugly gene. Because ugly to the bone, boy, I ain't kidding you. But beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So ugly is pretty to somebody. See, it's all speculation is what I'm trying to get you to. It reminds of this crisis we have. We ain't have no shortage of oil. Have you ever been to any gas station yet that shut it down like it did in the 70s? No, because it's none. It's called speculation. It's on there. We need to close them loopholes up. Because this thing can start a war. You understand? People getting enough. We just speculate it up. Just keep speculating. Well, you know, did you hear that maybe such this Nigeria had a fight? Iran got a fight? Oh, and all of a sudden, wham! And I said this at Arts Church, and I mean this. Just listen to me, Congress. What you ought to do is take oil or energy off of the commodities exchange and take food off of it, too, because they're not commodities. They're necessities of life, not commodities of life. Yet people that are in those sectors of work, they should be paid a phenomenal wage and be blessed. But if you did that, you'll shut down all hunger today. You shut it all down today because they're not commodities of life. They are necessities of life, energy and food. And the world would be a much better place. See, because then speculation couldn't get in it. What'd she say? You want me to run for Congress or something? Is that what she said? I wouldn't run for Congress. I'd run for president. I'll tell you what. I put on a fine suit, get me a briefcase. I look like a CEO. I look like a president till I open my mouth. No, I'm not a politician, but I'm not stupid. I don't know why it takes the federal government so long to get something done. I can fix something pretty quick. It's actually very simple. Until you... I love democracy, but I like theocracy better. Not from man's point of view, but God's point of view. I tell people in my ministry is theocracy, and my name is Theo. And I'll say it. I don't care. My name is Theo. Because, see, I'm going to be judged by God, but I'm also be judged by the United States of America. And if I don't operate that ministry correctly, I'll go to jail for something that doesn't belong to me. So since I'm in control of it or over it, I'm going to operate it the way it's supposed to be operated. You see what I'm saying? And I don't mean that privately, but I'm just telling you. I mean, things can be fixed pretty simple if you use some common sense that's not common to many people. Congress, you need to listen to us. You are our representatives. You don't vote your opinion. You vote what we say. That's just simply the truth. We voted you as our leader. Same thing with you federal judges. And you know, let me help you out here. There's a person called the executive branch that could remove you. Oh, that would cause a mess, but it can be done. See, people respond to fear because they don't have any faith in them. So faith in God is an act of the spirit. You draw God out of the distant regions of speculation. And I found out it's all speculation, which means it's a facade, a mirage. It doesn't really exist. Now write this down. Faith works by love. This is a simple statement. Now Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, if you want to go to it, you can go there. It says faith works by love, right? So love, I would say, is the oil that makes faith flow. If you want to look at it like that. Faith works by love. Now, the thing that struck me in the scripture was Jesus said that the devils believe. So does the devils have faith? That's a valid question. Have faith in God. The devils believe. The devils believe. Now, when I saw that in the scripture, are you telling me that that the devils have faith? The devils believe. But why don't their belief work? Especially with you. So there's a valid question there too. So they should have a good answer. Why doesn't Satan's belief work? Let's answer that. Faith works by love. Even the devils believe, but they have no love and are weak. Why? Well, James 2:19, thou believest that there are one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Yet nothing works their belief. Why? Because they are loveless. The reason why Satan's belief doesn't work is because he's loveless. Faith worketh by love. Do you see that? They're not really set something in order for me in my thinking that if the devil's belief is not like my belief. My belief is an entire lacking nothing because faith worketh by love. You see what I'm saying? Or in other words, I'm not loveless. So that's what makes the devil weak. That's why you are greater than he was in you than he is in the world, because you got something that can work your faith. He doesn't have anything at all to work his belief or any of that whatsoever. And he's not a faith devil. He can't be. He's a flesh devil. He cannot tempt you in the spirit because he's spiritually dead. And I've said that many times. I can't say that enough. He's spiritually dead. So he tempts you in the flesh. But if you crucify your flesh, then temptation is not much of you. It doesn't bother you at all. When he sees Jesus there, he don't even know who he is. He's on the limits of retardation. Do you understand that? He's dying daily and you are growing daily. When he sees Jesus, he says the question, this little word that a lot of people miss. He goes, if thou be the Son of God, I don't know. He's talking to the person that created him and he can't even figure that out. It'd be like your child come up to you and say, if you my mama. If thou be the Son of God. Now watch this. He asked Jesus to do something. Turn that stone into bread. Now, here's the key to that. He asked Jesus to do something he could see. He's in the five senses of life. He said, if he turns that stone into bread, that's the man. That's that Messiah. That's that Son of God. That's that Christ that I'm on. That's him. Jesus said, no. Now, he could have turned the whole mountain into a loaf of bread with a log of butter running right down the valley. And then your mama pancakes with syrup just coming in there. Glory to God. It would be a blessing of the Lord. But he said, no. He literally said, no. See, Jesus' will to choose and his heart to revere and his intellect, she comes against him, shuts him down. Why? Because he's a faith devil. That's why the Lord penned through the mighty hand of, I believe, the Apostle Paul, that there hath no temptation taken you or consumed you or controlled you that such is common to man. Or in other words, if it's not common or you don't understand it, Satan can't even use it. Do you know how powerful you are? Let me show you how powerful you are in a sinful state. When you didn't know God. All right, you just, quote, just full of the devil, for lack of a better term. You shut the devil down when you was a sinner. Without even using the name of Jesus. I did it many times. Because, I used to drink a lot. I mean, I was a partying man. Whoo, Lord, if there was a party, I found it. But sometimes I got tired. My body got physically worn out. And I'd have the devil would say, Jesse, why don't you go get drunk tonight? Man, let's go to that party. Go chase some women. Let's go do this. Which is what he's the Lord of sin. You know what I said? No. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. I shut the devil down in my physical state and he couldn't make me sin. How much more can I shut the devil down now that I've got the name of God, the fruits of the Spirit, the nine gifts? Every one of you shut the devil down in your sinful state. Your flesh is stronger than he is.
Amen.
That's a great analogy. So how much more can you shut him down with having faith in God? He is loveless. That's why his belief doesn't work. So I don't care what he says. I've had the devil tell me, I believe in God. Well, whoopee-doo. But you have no love, so nothing can activate what you believe in. Do you see that? The reason why their belief doesn't work is they're loveless. That's why they're weak. They're actually very weak and frail. That's why they hate prosperity preaching with a passion. Because it's the only strength Satan has. It's called money. He controls the world through economy. You want another example of that? Hey, Jesus, I heard you're kingdom minded. You kingdom minded? Hey, I got a kingdom. Got money in it, organized. Run it like you want. All you got to do. See, there's always a hitch to this. It's just worship me. You ain't got to be in front of nobody, just us. Jesus said, no. His will to choose, his heart to revere. My God. His intellect to see, his conscience to respond. No. Devil goes, I know where to touch him. And this is where he gets most church people. I'm going to quote scripture to him. I'm going to make him think I'm one of his. Hey, you believe your Bible? You believe your intellectual property? Takes him on a pinnacle. Says, hey, why don't you jump off here? Because, you know, your intellectual property, quote, your Bible says that the angels have charge over you. He's still trying to figure out who he is. He don't know yet. First, you're trying to make him put rocks in the bread, organize something, and fly something physical. It's all physical. It's all flesh. Because he says your angels have charge of you and won't let you bust your foot. Jesus said, get thee behind me. Get out of here. Now, you notice those three temptations. You want a good book? You can write this. Turn the stone into bread. One, never use the word of God for personal advantage, because it's going to work for you anyway. Two, hey, you want a kingdom? I got a kingdom. Just handle it. Two, never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of your goal. Three, okay, you want to be real scripture? You got the power? Do this. Never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. I've seen a lot of people casting out devils do that. What's your name, devil? What, like as if that's going to help you. Why don't you ask him what street he live on in hell too while you're at it? What good is that? You don't talk to the devil. You said the Lord rebuked it, or get out of here. In Jesus' name, go. So in other words, you don't use the word of God for personal advantage because it works for you. Start with personally. Number two, you never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of your goal or your end. And number three, you never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. That was the three temptations of Jesus there in the desert. Write a book on it. I didn't. The Lord just gave it to him. It's fine. See, do you see? So now he don't have strike four. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you out, go home. The Bible said Satan left Jesus for a season. He got tired. He didn't mess with Jesus for 3 months. That's a season. Wouldn't it be nice to go through life for 3 months without one lying devil messing with you? And you know what the devil did? I got to go lay down. I got to make it. He done beat the socks out of me. Now, what made him have that great power? He was the son of. Why? He had faith in God. I came that you might know the Father. See, he understood the four words. You see, he said, me and my Father is one. So he was not a speculator concerning his Father. He didn't have to draw God in from the distant regions of speculation. You see what I'm saying? He knew his Father. What a blessing that was. Now, when you understand that, so I don't care what the devil does. And he said, I'll show you all the kind of stuff. Well, no, your belief doesn't work because it's loveless. So faith without, faith worketh by love. In other words, it moves faith. It moves you to believe that God is, and he's a rewarder of them. That's another thing. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One time at the Atlanta airport, before I had my own plane, I was flying, and I walked in, and I don't know if I've said this here, but I'll say it again if I did. As I was walking to my gate, I looked at a man, and that was a sick man. I mean, he had a terrible cold. You could almost hear it rattling when he breathed. And I thought, what is he doing in here to start with? Probably had the flu or something besides. He was sick. You could see that. And the Lord spoke to me, said, you see that man? I am saving his life right now, and he doesn't even know that I am, or he doesn't even know me. But my mercy is being applied to him. I said, why would you say that, Lord? He says, Satan has attacked his body. He's a killer. He's a serial killer. He said this, and I'll never forget that. He said, the devil don't come to make sick, Jesse. Man, I'm walking by the guy, and I just kind of stopped. You know, I'm in the middle of, you know, that throughway. He said, the devil didn't come to make this man sick. He come to kill it. He wants that to turn into double pneumonia, fill his lungs up with fluid, kill it. But my mercy is stopping the devil. Yeah. And he doesn't even know that. See, Satan don't come to make sick. He's not a sick maker. He is a killer. He has no love. That's why he can kill a baby. That's why he can move upon someone who's crazy about religion and destroy a person because of their creed or nationality. Kill a child. Take its brains and blood and spread it on the walls because he happened to be Jewish and he was only 12. First man is not at that level. That's why some people say, I don't believe in the devil. You better believe in the devil, because man has not dropped that low. It takes a devil in a man to do that. Because, see, you have to be totally, completely loveless. One prime example, we have it all through history. But the Holocaust is proof positive of that. Just proof positive. How could you just do that? Because, see, when you're loveless, and Satan is totally loveless, and God is totally hateless. God can't hate you. Even, he says, I don't have fun in someone that goes to hell. It bothers God that people go to hell. Because his love is so beyond. It's called agape. That's four types of love. Agape, phileo, storge, and eros. You know, I am Dr. Jesse Duplantis. I know this book. I don't mean that. I know this book. I started this book. I understand this thing. This is not hard. You need a good theologian to help you misunderstand the Bible. Jack your brain up with so much junk that it takes you away from the focus of what God is saying. Now, I believe in education. Don't misunderstand me. My point is this, is that we faith works by love. So I have to work my faith, and I do it by love. I don't do it by experience. Most people try to work their faith by experience. You know, faith doesn't even reside. People think it does. It doesn't. I don't care if you've been saved 40 years. You ain't got no 40 years of faith. Faith cometh. It don't reside. It don't stack up. That's why sometimes you get healed, sometimes you don't. You know that? Because you use all the faith you have for that last sickness and you never replenished yourself. That's why God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You not only need that to replenish, but you need the corporate faith and anointing that's in that church. That's why I've always been a local church person. I had a guy tell me that day, I don't go to church, but I watch you faithful on television. I said, you a lazy no-count puppy. I said it just like that. What's the matter with you? I said, you lazy. You need to be a part of a church. I said, you're totally against the word of God. Thank you for watching me. That's very kind. But you need to become a part of a local work. You need to be. Because you see, if you're just standing there doing nothing, then what happens is you're selfish. You're not willing to commit to responsibility of go ye in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So in a sense, he had a little lack of love. Write this down. There can be no reality in a belief that is not acted on or lived by. There can be no reality in a belief that is not acted on or lived by. James chapter 2, verse 20 said, faith without works is dead. So notice, so if faith worketh by love and faith without works is dead, you got to do something with faith. It don't reside. It doesn't reside. It don't stack up. It cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. See, that's why I love the gospel. Be honest with you, that's why I like, and Sister Gloria's here this morning, that's why I like being asked to be a speaker at the Believers' Convention. Not because y'all honor me by being on this platform, and that's an honor. It's just I get to hear others. You got to understand, I am constantly giving out, which is okay. And I'm constantly replenishing myself, you know. But boy, it's just nice. I've listened to Brother Cooper, listened to Sister Glory, I've listened to Keith, I've listened to Creflo. Just one little piece go, whoo! I mean, it's kind of, to me, it's yellow cake with chocolate frosting. That's my favorite. I love yellow cake with chocolate and cold milk. Good. Oh, man. And I don't want a piece, I want the whole cake. I want to be like a baby. See, that's called overflow. Baby know how to overflow. And I just get to hear others. And iron sharpeneth iron. And I listen. And it sharpens what's in me. But then it sets me down or sends me down a path that I did not know. We're all preaching out of the same Bible from the same author. And yet with different directions. Have you noticed that I'm usually different than most of any of these speakers that come? Now, why are you laughing about that? I'm supposed to be. It's my gift. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you see, God give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't care how great the prophet is. Without me, he can't complete his work. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And I can't complete my work without the prophet or the apostle or the pastor or the teacher. So I'm not in competition. I've had people say, how can you preach with? I've seen you preach with. You tag team one time. I preached on the same night with Oral Roberts and Joyce Myers. Did you feel intimidated? No, because I can't be Oral Roberts. I'm too short. I wish I could. I can't be Joyce Myers. I wish I could. So I didn't try to be Oral Roberts or Joyce Myers. I just was Jesse Duplantis. So when Brother Copeland preaches a stem winder or Jerry does, I don't go, okay, tomorrow I got to beat that boy. I got to get in that. No! No, man! It's called team effort. God ain't looking for a brilliant individualist. He's looking for a team. Yes. If you want to win the Super Bowl, you got to have a team. Because I don't care how good that quarterback is. If those four guys in front just go, I ain't hitting the guy. I'm telling you, they're going to knock that quarterback down. They're going to beat his brains out. Right? It's a team effort. That's my point. That's what I'm saying, see? Well, it's, and you are a team. It's you and God. So I have never tried. I'm going to name some names. I've preached with the biggest and the best. I've preached with T.D. Jake. Lord, Jake can preach the word of God. Lord, I'm good. You know how. Get ready. You ever notice? I love T.D.J. That Rod Parsley, he got a vocabulary, don't he? My God, he said, you know, this crude colloquialism. And I go, what did he say? Boy, that boy, I man got it. I love Rod Parsley. John Hagee, what you mad about? I tell you what, that God, I got. Whoa, John. I love John Hagee. I tell you what, like, Mr. Ambassador. I go, oh, Lord, here come the government now, man. I love John Hagee. Got some guts, but come on. I appreciate all of them. Lord, that God. I've done the conventions. I preached in them domes. Fred Price. I just want to find out what Fred eats. They told me that day he's 76. I'm going to be 59. I could be his daddy. I look like his dad. My God, the man's 76 years old. I'm going to be 59 next week. And I go, what does he eat? He got a great teacher. Oh, what a blessing of God, Lord Jesus. I preach with some of these great women ministers. Lord Jesus, man. It's a, you know, I mean, and I'm so glad that God set women free. And God broke that yoke of insecurity by men. Boy, now women ministers flowing. Lord Jesus. I've had people tell me, you know, your wife's better than you. I said, she should be. I came from a woman, so I'm glad a woman's better than me. Because there ain't no such thing as a weaker sex. That's a lie. Women are controlling the world. I've been controlled by three women all my life. My mama, my wife, and my daughter. Now my granddaughter said, when you gonna put my name on the building? All of us are controlled. Most of you men didn't even get dressed without your wife telling you what to wear. They control everything. 90% of all durable goods in America is bought by women. Did you know that? That's why when you walk into a mall, you don't walk into a men's section. You walk into women's clothes, women's perfume, women's cosmetics. Where's the men's section? It's back on the left-hand side by the bathroom. Am I telling the truth? Why? Because they know men ain't got no money. They only got what their wife let them have. That's why I keep mine. This is called she money. She don't know I got it. Got to do it. I'm on a roll this morning, boy. I tell you what. Four words that'll change your life.
Whoa, have faith in God. There can be no reality in a belief that is not acted on or lived by. I act on my belief. I live by my belief. So when I preach to some of these women people, women ministries, my Lord Jesus, I just sit and learn. I had a guy says, it doesn't bother you? No, I'm a secure man. See, to me, if a woman can feed you physically, why can't a woman feed you spiritually? I don't understand that. Men have fought that.
I think women should be silent in church.
Women are not silent anywhere. They ain't silent. They're not supposed to be silent. If they said, men don't know where to go. Watch a man follow his wife in a mall. He don't know where to go. When she stop, he stop. He go. He don't know where to go. What do you think they put those benches in there for? So men can sit down. They don't know where to go. If they were silent, we wouldn't know what to do. Shout, ladies, I'm setting y'all free this morning. Most of you, you're here today because your mama prayed for you. Your daddy didn't care about you. Your daddy said, oh, he came home. It's your mama. My mama never went to bed until I got home. My mama could hear ants crossing carpet. My daddy, I could have been missing for 6 weeks. He'd have never known it. Only time you use a daddy for discipline. My mama said, that boy, you go do that. Daddy said, I brought you here. I take you out, boy. Don't mess with me. I'll kill you. Make another one look just like you. Okay, Dad. It's mothers. Even Jesus proved that. Joseph was a good man. I'm going to have to talk to the Lord about that. Joseph was a good man. On the cross, he could have said, thank you, Joe. You taught me a trade. You helped me. Nothing. Nothing. He said, take care of my mama. Shout, ladies. Most of you go to church because your mama drug you or your grandma. And the only reason your grandpa and your daddy came because your mama drugged them. The only reason Brother Copeland went to Tulsa because Gloria told him to go. He was fighting God. I ain't go. We're going to starve. Kenneth, we're starving now. Oh, okay. Hey, it's the truth. Okay. What are you going to do? Well, look at the men. I'm going to kill you if you don't shut up. It's just the truth. Women go to meetings. You ever go to a woman's meeting? They have food. It's great. Go to a men's meeting. You better bring your own sandwich. They ain't giving you nothing. Women got food. And they give gifts. They have women's conference. They give gifts. Oh, who's going to win this? You go to a men's meeting. Did y'all get anything? No, man. Is that amazing? I don't know how many fruit baskets. I don't know how many things when I go preach. Sometimes people give me. I know it's coming from women. Men don't even know what happened. I tell the pastor, thank you for that fruit basket. Oh, you got a fruit basket? I said, yeah, I did. Can I have some? Sure. I give fruit baskets. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. See, faith causes the intellect to see, the conscience to respond, the will to choose, and the heart to revere. Got to go back to that. That's four stages of having faith in God. Not only faith of God, faith toward God, but faith in Him. That's a person. That's why God
understands how to get things done. He needed Mary. Let me close with this. He needed Mary. He needed Mary. Mary, you have found favor. And he just sent a message to Job. Listen to Mary. He sent a message to Abraham. Hearken unto thy wife, Sarah. That's why God said, don't scorn a woman. A woman is the most beautiful creation God ever made, but don't make her mad. Because she can stay up longer than you. She'll kill you while you're sleeping, boy. She'll not. You don't make no woman mad, son. They're more sensitive. They are an affectionate species. They love affection. Men, they sexual. They're like a dog. Arr, 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 trying to get through the fence. I could just get through the fence. That crazy female dog. What? What? That, it's a fact. It's a fact. It really is. It's truly amazing. So I learned a lot of things from Kathy, my wife. She's taught me a lot of things. I don't know what they are, but she's taught me a lot of things. She's taught me how to say things that I suppress. I just couldn't say. Just don't know. It's just amazing. And willing to work. Willing to work, boy. I mean, they'll get at it and go to work. I mean, they just stay at it. And that's a blessing. So God chose Mary. Mary found favor with God. Now, you got to understand. I would say the greatest miracle ever is a virgin birth. I mean, come on, common sense. I mean, Lord. Whew. Can you imagine Mary telling her parents, I'm pregnant? What? An angel of the Lord came to me. And I'm pretty sure her father said, yeah, is his name Harry? Fred? Curtis? No, Dad. An angel of the Lord came and said, I found favor with God, and I'm going to have the Son of God. Foo, foo. I don't doubt Mary's mother went, oh. Oh. Now, you can't prove it's true, and I can't prove it's not, but let's just speculate. Oh, God chose my daughter. Mary's daddy, what are we going to do? I'm going to kill that boy if I can find him. Joseph, I ain't done nothing. She is very smart. How can this be since I know not a man? Now watch this. God says the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall conceive. And she even gives him his name, and his name, you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. She says, for lack of a better term, okay. Settled, but not a man. Not a man. So is it possible that women's faith works quicker because they have more love? I just said, is it possible? And you never know the true heart of a woman. You'll never get that deep, mister. I've been married to my wife for 38 years. I thought I knew everything about her till menopause kicked in. Now that's a little surprise that God shows a man he don't know. Kathy is a sweet person. That menopause kicked. I said, hey, Kathy, shut up. Oh, okay. Why are you sweating? Shut up, shut up. Okay, yeah, I ain't saying nothing. You know what menopause means? Men, pause. Menopause.
Shut her down, buddy. Which proves my last point. There can be no reality in a belief that is not acted on or lived by. My wife changed. My wife did everything I ever said. It was a wonderful marriage. Come on, men, help me out here, will you? Y'all scared, slap silly. That's your man saying nothing. And all of a sudden she said, I ain't that stupid little girl you married. Well, I never thought you was stupid little girl. So I did what Abraham said. Okay. It was a blessing. Married 38 years. And I had that blessing. And if I had the decision to do it again, I'd do it exactly the same. We've never separated. We've never divorced. That doesn't mean we ain't had some hollering matches. I ain't gonna lie about it. Woman make you mad, boy. And I made her mad. But that didn't, not to the point of, that's it. That's it. No. Mm-mm. I mean, and she's even taught it to my daughter. When Kathy goes preaching, when I happen to have a night at my house by myself, which is very seldom, George. I'm gone all the time. My daughter called me. Oh, you okay, Dad? Yeah, I'm okay. Well, what are you going to eat, Dad? I said the same thing if your mother was here. I'm going to a restaurant. This is my meeting. You should not be talking. You should be listening, woman. I'm going to a restaurant. That's a fact. We're building this final home. Jesus. She made me go to a house show, which I didn't want to go to a house show. She heads for the kitchen. What for? Walking in as Viking this and wolf this and this refrigerator, $15,000, this huge thing, big as this section. Look at this, Jesse. That did not impress me. I said, y'all got a section called a drive-up window? I said, Kathy, you know how much money this kitchen going to cost? Oh, yeah, you got to have a nice kitchen. But you don't cook, which is okay. You can cook, but you don't cook. We could save a chunk of money. Put a drive-up window and just say, drop it off, boys. But no, got to have all that. Got pots going to hang from the ceiling that never be used. All this stuff. It's just amazing to me. Jody, my dog, Dad, you okay? You going to make it? Now, my executive secretary, Mary, I guess they tell him, Jesse, make sure he's okay. Take care of him. Look, I'm older than all of them. I've been here longer than all of them. I know what to do. My secretary goes, are you okay, Brother Jesse? Miss Kathy said, make sure you're okay. Yeah, I'm fine. What are you going to do tonight? I said, I'm going to throw my dirty clothes on the floor. You want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pitch my underwear all the way across the house. I'm going to throw that baby. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave the glass on the counter. I'm going to put the stuff in the sink without rinsing it. But I'm going to get up early in the morning and pick it all up. And I got my brother-in-law said, can we come over and stay? We want to do it too. So wonderful. That's the only time the devil ever got I close with this. It's the only time the devil got ever almost killed me is when Kathy wasn't home. Kathy got my back. And that's how I ate that Vienna sausage. But it was Kathy's fault because she had it in there for 10 years. Well, you could have read the label, stupid. She was in London. Senator London opened up them offices. I was hungry. She said, did it smell bad? Well, yeah. But it had all that white slimy stuff on it? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a miracle of God. I didn't die. I filled my whole system up with poison. I called Brother Copeland sitting on a toilet. I ain't lying. I couldn't move. I said, Kenneth. He said, what's that sound? You don't want to know. I said, I need prayer. You got diarrhea? I said, more than that. I'm waiting for my shoes. I know I ain't supposed to be saying this. I know I should say, hang on, Kenneth. Pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank God, Brother Colton. He saved my life. Pray for me. I never forget, Brother Colton, I don't know if you remember, he said, you think you need an enema? I said, there ain't nothing left. There just ain't nothing left, man. I was sick. I said, the only thing, it'll be intestines and liver coming. I mean, kidneys. I'm sick. So sick, I got up and fell on the floor. Couldn't. I'm talking, buddy. It was rough. I began to rebuke the devil. Did pretty good till Kathy called. How you doing? Fine. Lord said, you just lied. I said, yeah, oh, God, forgive me. I said, I ain't doing too good. What? You need me to come home? No, woman. I take care of myself. Hung the phone up. Come home! Please come home! That pride will kill you, boy. That's why Jesus was kind of shocked at what Peter and them all said. Did you check the tree out? It dried up from the roots. I can paraphrase that. You still don't know who I am? That I have control over nature? And the only reason he could do that, you want a revelation? The only reason that he had the power over that tree, because you see, God has power on the earth, but not authority. That's a fact. Because the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. You see, and he gave us this earth. And the works over his hands. He said, I give you dominion over all the works of my hands. See, God has great power, but not authority. You have the authority. That's why God didn't open up the Red Sea till Moses stuck the stick out there. That's why he had to go talk to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah before that place was judged. Because you're dealing with man's territory. Junior partner, senior partner. Do you see that? And why could Jesus do it? Because not only was God, he never called himself the Son of God. I couldn't figure that out for years. Why don't he call himself the Son of God? He said, I'm the Son of Man. See, because see, he acted as man. Now, was he God? Yeah. So God, power, man, authority. Came together in Jesus. Tree shut down. Bam. God power, man authority. That's why God said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visited him. Jesus was not only God power, but he was man authority. And what he said came to pass. Did you enjoy it this morning? Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Oh, I got one more session. Let me give you the point on the neck. Normally I give you something so you can contemplate it. Now, tomorrow, I'll close out my sessions on these four words that can change your life with this. We are here not simply to pass the time, but to fight for a cause. Your faith is a call, and it's also an appeal, and it should never be argued. You should never fight faith. You should fight the good fight of faith. So we're going to get into that tomorrow. And I hope you can get pieces of revelation. As I've said many times, a revelation without a manifestation is a missed opportunity. Say so. You have to flow. Now, tonight, Dr. Savelle will be ministering powerfully. Of course, we got Brother Keith Moore in the afternoon sessions. Keith and Phyllis are just wonderful people. And so I hope you can make it. You'll be blessed. I'm going to let you out a little early, about 10, 11 minutes early, so you can get some food and things of that nature. So if people ask you, what y'all doing in town? Say, we're having faith in God. Faith in God. And you know what? You don't need to convince them that it's true. Just let them see your light. That's one thing, people. Boy, when people see happy people, joyous people, blessed people, you're not worried about all this stuff going on? No, don't have to. My Father owns it all.
Amen.
Are you ready, Brother Lynn? Come on. Praise God. This is Brother Lynn Mink. Give him a hand clap as he dismisses you.